Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. The podcast is distributed on these platforms every Friday and is included in the NAHU's weekly member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. We apologize for the audio quality on this week's episode of the Healthcare Happy Hour. We are practicing social distancing and recording in our individual homes.
The IRS and DOL have been releasing guidance throughout the coronavirus pandemic, including recent emergency regulation regarding the COBRA election period during the dates of the COVID-19 national emergency. NAHU submitted a letter to the IRS requesting further clarification on this recent regulation, along with several other provisions where we felt additional information was needed. On this week's episode of the Healthcare Happy Hour, COO and Compliance Officer with Kirby Employee Benefits and Compliance Corner member Carol Taylor joins Marcy to discuss this letter. Before we discuss the COBRA emergency rule, we had some concerns about regulations stemming from the FFCRA and CARES Act. Can you speak a little about that?
Sure, Dan. This is, of course, Carol. So one of the things that was not very clear within the guidance on the FFCRA and the CARES Act is in some of the FAQs about exactly which group health plan costs that are paid on a pre-tax basis are actually refundable to the employer. So there's some that are listed and some that are not. And of course, particularly in this definition does exclude retirement benefits and other purposes, which would seem to indicate an exclusion for the retention and pay leave tax credit calculation purposes. And then, of course, if they can't count other pre-tax elections as part of those qualified wages, they would need this immediate guidance or further guidance for how to calculate those qualified wages accordingly.
NAHU raised several compliance concerns regarding the recent emergency regulation on the extension of certain timeframes for employee benefit plans and beneficiaries impacted by the pandemic. What are some of those concerns?
We basically ended up with what could be considered a very open-ended period of time. So this could be done, you know, through the national emergency getting extended. And of course, we're coming up upon an election year. And depending upon if there's changes and if there is a second wave, a third wave of the virus, this could just keep getting pushed out and pushed out and pushed out and pushed out for an actual end date. And because the rule actually basically extends out the COBRA, not only the election time, but the payment time, this basically becomes an open liability for employers as well as insurance carriers and others. Because as it keeps getting extended for the national emergency portion, and then we have a 60-day outbreak period beyond that, and then the normal time frames apply for COBRA, so like payment with, you know, within the 30-day grace period after that. So somebody could actually go out right now, and they may not elect COBRA until November the 1st. And then they have all of the other regular timeframes beyond that because of, you know, the dates that are right now in effect. And so it's this open-ended issue that we really see as a problem. And it's not only for the employers, because if anybody's self-funded, but it's also an issue for the carriers as well as any COBRA administrators, because there's just so many different moving pieces and parts. So like for a COBRA administrator, do they term them? Do they reactivate the person? Can the insurance carrier even put somebody into a pending type situation within their system? Because some of those claim systems, they're very complicated and this system feeds to that system. And, you know, they all kind of have to work together. And because of those complexities, they may not have something built into it to basically kind of put this person into a holding pattern of, well, they haven't paid their premium, therefore we can't pay their claims. But there's also some nuances within that guidance that the person can't be denied benefits. Well, does that mean that, you know, it just sits in a pend until they pay or not? Because, of course, we know if the claim gets paid and then the person doesn't pay their premium, we've got a problem in that the monies for those premiums are going to have to come from that person. And because there are certain contracts out there with providers that the carriers can't basically go back and pull that money back from them to have them go then bill that patient. We run into so many issues, problems with this timeline getting stretched out so far on it. And that's not even going into some of the other items that we see problems with, particularly self-funding, where if an employer is either leaving their self-funded arrangement, you know, let's say they're a little bit smaller and it just makes sense for them to go back to fully insured, and we have this open-ended liability that's likely going to end up with a claim getting paid that this group may not even know about because this is a former employee of theirs. This could leave employers with a very, very hefty bill to pay for a person that they have no clue about right now. And there's nothing within any of the guidance for protections for that. Within the letter, there was actually several examples using a self-funded employer and how they could, you know, get hurt very quickly. The result is some of these employers, because of, you know, if they really truly fully understand the implications of this rule, then they may stay in a economically unfeasible situation for them staying with their current TPA, even though they may have service issues with them or even possibly with a high increase on reinsurance costs. You know, it could still put them into a financial liability issue basically any way they look at it. So it's extremely harmful for any self-funded client out there, especially with stop-loss coverage.
And Carol, I also wanted to kind of point out that there are issues with some of the guidance that we're commenting on that go even just to the start of someone going on COBRA and the employer providing notice and how that is going to operate during this time of a pandemic, specifically those that may have had a notice that went out earlier in late February or early March, and then those that are coming up that need kind of that end date that you referenced where we don't really have an end date. Will there be a safe harbor for employers that are just doing their best effort in providing these notices to employees that are going onto COBRA and how that's going to work? And then when we talk about the financial responsibilities of the employer with claims and other pieces, what about the financial responsibilities of employers for being penalized if they're not in compliance with some of these things where they're really trying under their best efforts to comply, but without some of these more concrete answers, they're just not able to.
Right. And, you know, in the middle of all of this, they also released the updated COBRA notice, I believe it was on May the 1st, and they didn't even address anything about these particular issues within it with anything with the kind of the open-ended date. We don't know the date yet.
And what Carol's talking about is that COBRA notice that they issued, and you had the date right on May 1st, and it didn't include any of this new guidance that came out just days before, which just adds another layer of complication for employers when they're trying to sift through all of this and trying to be in compliance and do what's best, not just for them, but for their employees as well.
So can you discuss some specific examples of compliance issues for group plans that convey the necessity of new guidance and relief?
So one of the items we were just speaking on was the model notices. You know, having a new template or model language that would be considered like a safe harbor or a good faith compliance effort would be one very needed piece of information. Some of the others are, again, relating to, you know, the COBRA administrators, and do we need to reinstate the person and then have the insurance carrier put them into a pending status, or do they keep them terminated until they get payment, as it's typically done? I know a bunch of them do it that way. And then, of course, we've also got the employers with trying to decide what plans they, you know, because a lot of renewals don't happen January 1st. They happen all throughout the year. Is a decision that an employer is making now going to have a negative impact on them down the road if they make a change, you know, and one that they may see as, we've got to do this in order to basically get through this? Is that going to put them in a jeopardy position where they needed to disclose that person that left in April for, and then not even for a COVID reason, that could potentially go out there, have a large claim, and then third-party payment when the hospital starts asking, you know, did you work prior to back in like even February, that you should have gotten this COBRA notice? And of course, if they've moved, and even though whoever's administrating the COBRA sends the notice and they don't respond, we could be talking about so many months down the road, and there was no way for that employer to know, and they could end up in litigation with either a carrier or a reinsurer, and they truthfully did not know. And of course, we've got the issues with the claim payments, because the guidance was specific that benefits can't be denied. What exactly did they mean? You know, did they mean that the claim has to be paid and then they have to go duke it out with somebody to get the premium payment?
Out of all the concerns we raised and relief that we requested, what specific guidance do brokers and their clients need to see as soon as possible?
Honestly, all of it. We really do need some information, because employers are making decisions now. They've already made decisions. If something is going to put them into a liability position, they need to know about it, or actually should have known about it weeks ago. In some cases, the regulatory agencies, nor does Congress, act quickly on many things. It takes weeks and weeks and weeks, but we really do need some guidance on how do we do this and do this properly in order to not get into trouble anywhere on any of it. Even just putting out something with the good faith effort, and that will basically put them into more of a hold harmless situation.
Marcy, how is NAHU planning to use this letter?
Even though, as Carol indicated, we are sending this letter to the IRS, it's in response to the emergency guidance that they put out specific to the extension of COBRA, but we're also using this on a number of different fronts. So we're sending this to the IRS in response to the emergency guidance, but then we're also sending a copy to members of Congress. As many of you know, and we've mentioned on the podcast in earlier weeks, Congress is working on their next round of COVID relief bills. And one of the aspects that's included in that is the possibility of providing a COBRA subsidy. They're looking at subsidizing COBRA at 90 to 95% is probably where the compromise will end up, although it was fully subsidized at 100% in the House Democrat bill that passed just a couple of weeks ago. But we still have the Senate that has to approve that, and we're foreseeing that will be, like I said, compromised down to 90 or 95%. But as they're having those conversations, and I know some people will look at it and see these as very different issues, but a lot of the claims and the premiums issues that Carol brought up are things that could be alleviated on some level if this larger COBRA subsidy passes. A lot of times, and especially when this first came out, there was a thought that Congress was going to act very swiftly and that they were already prepared to pass some type of COBRA subsidization. And so these were going to go hand in hand. And instead, what we've seen is almost a month lag time in the release of the initial regulations and then the emergency guidance. And now we're sitting with all of this and all of the questions that Carol raised and the issues and possibility for financial liability on employers and consumers. And we don't have that COBRA subsidization that's passed Congress. So we're sharing this letter with them to really point these pieces out, and we'll be providing just a little bit of a one-pager cover to explain why we're sending this letter to them while they're looking at the possibility of subsidizing COBRA and how their actions could help with some of these questions, which could possibly relieve the IRS from providing many, many more emergency rules and guidance, although we still do need some, even if Congress does act on this. But it could really help with some of the questions that we have if we know that that funding is going to be there. So that's one group we're going to share it with. We're also going to be sharing it with the NEIC, which is the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. And this is a collection of the state insurance commissioners from across the country. And we're sharing this with them because we know that with COBRA, there are also a lot of questions about state continuation and that a number of states are going to be affected very differently because of this emergency guidance. We want to make sure that this is on their radar, that they're looking at ways that they can possibly provide some relief across the states, whether it's acting in a uniform manner or having states that know that there are going to be specific problems for them, making sure they're providing guidance and are aware of how difficult this could be for employers and consumers in their states, and hoping that we can try to prompt some action on their behalf. Or in the alternative, if they're not able to act as swiftly, in some cases because of restrictions on what they can do legally as a Department of Insurance in a state, or because their state legislatures are not meeting right now because of social distancing measures, there's also the possibility that having received this letter from NEHU, that the NEIC could also turn around and write a letter to the IRS or to Congress and use their leverage to ask for further action and emphasizing our requests from our letter. So trying to make sure we're including all of the players and seeing just how far the roots of this guidance go and what different entities can have any type of effect in trying to just make this a little bit easier for everyone that's involved.
Ideally, what other guidance and relief would NEHU like to see from the administration from a compliance perspective?
So a few weeks ago, we submitted a letter asking for a number of items of relief on the agency perspective, and we are following up with that this week as we've seen some of those pieces answered in different items that have come out from the administration, but we still have some lingering questions. Some of those are things like our request to have FSAs carry over or have an extension in the grace period for the use of an FSA, since many folks are not able to use their funds right now for elective procedures. The only thing that a lot of hospitals are open for other than COVID response is for emergency services. So that's one piece. And even though we had a little bit of relief on that with the guidance that came out on FSAs allowing a 20% increase in carryover, that was really just an increase of $50. So we know that many people have a much larger amount that is left in their FSAs that they would like to carry over. So that's one of the pieces we'd like to see more clarification on. Also, some clarification on the PPP loan forgiveness plans. If you tuned in to this week's Compliance Corner webinar, you heard Annette Bechtold and Jennifer Berman talking about the loan forgiveness program and just some of the intricacies and difficulties with trying to calculate that, the differences between making sure that you are able to be forgiven or whether you can be audited but not forgiven and all of these different things. So we think that it would be very useful if we could get more clarification on that. We'd also like to see some more guidance on employer reporting. This is something we're asking for from the administration and from members of Congress, if they can put this in their next COVID bill. We did receive a little bit of guidance that kind of gave a blanket broad statement of employers and plan administrators should do what they think is reasonable under these circumstances. But that doesn't really go into a lot of the specifics or any of the specifics of employer reporting. And these are items that have very large penalties attached to them. Employers are not going to just take a blanket statement of acting with what they think is reasonable as any type of assurance that they aren't going to end up with some type of large penalty as a result of their attempt at compliance this year. So we would like to see some of the rules suspended during the period of the national emergency and some other pieces, delays on some of the responses that folks are required to provide to different agency communications. These are all things that are of mind to us as we continue to work through the different relief plans that they have. And I know Carol has some items as well, but one other thing I wanted to point out, it's not related to COVID-19, but I think that we are seeing a delay in the announcement because of COVID-19. And that is the new calculation for PCORI fees. I am probably asked about this every day, so I want to make sure that we're kind of passing this information along. We have been in contact with the IRS and Treasury, and we've been told that the new calculations that employers need to use for their payment that's due on July 31st is coming out, and I'm doing air quotes here, soon. Fans of the podcast will know that soon, when it's used as a government term, can mean in 6 minutes or in 6 months. Obviously, we cannot wait 6 months for this because the payment's due July 31st, but we have been told that they're aware that it's coming out soon. And as soon as we get that, we will push that out to you all. But we are including it in our letter that's going out this week because we want to make sure that we're raising that again to them and making sure that even though, like I said, it's not related to COVID, and so this has been pushed further down on their list, but it is very pressing because we know employers are going through and working out how much they will be owing on that July 31st due date, and that you all are on the edge of your seats waiting for that. So we are going to be including that in our request as well.
Yeah, as you mentioned about the FSAs and, of course, HRAs, which we did also get a little bit of that within this one guidance release. You know, there's still a lot of questions surrounding the uniform grace period for any of the claims as it applies to not only FSAs, but also HRAs. And what about ICRAs and QSARAs? So there's still a lot of questions out there surrounding those. I know that from our compliance corner calls, which used to be monthly, they've been weekly now for quite some time. And we've discussed a lot of the issues surrounding the PPP loans and the forgiveness. And we've addressed some of those in some of the letters going to the different agencies on those. You try to think of everything that needs to go in those. And then, of course, something else comes up and it's like, didn't even think of that, but that's why it takes a village of the members out there coming up with everything and, you know, the different viewpoints and the different things that they've seen come up. So that's why it's always a good thing that, you know, if you've got something that's just that burning, hey, I've been asked this, you know, 10 times, shoot it over to the compliance email at NAHU so that, you know, we can look at that and see if it's something that needs to be added in. Some of the stuff that we've even gotten just this week has just been kind of on the outer fringes and crazy, but also at the same time, we kind of think, yeah, this may happen more and more with employers reopening, even how best to handle some of the items out there and safety procedures even, you know, the agency have released some of that stuff. And I know it's not specific to, you know, health insurance and what we do, but we're all getting those questions. You know, how do we safely do things and how is this covered underneath the health insurance? So you have to stay on top of all this stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, it keeps changing. And, you know, hopefully we can get some more very clear answers from some of the agencies on a lot of these questions that we've already asked. And honestly, one of the other things that would be great would be consistency, because one agency will release one thing and another one will release something and it will be questionable of which do I do? You know, is it this or is it this? And, you know, hopefully try to get a little bit more consistency between the agency releases so we don't have some of these confusing factors, you know, as we're trying to navigate all of the problems that we see on a day-to-day basis.
It is now time for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour Toast of the Week. Carol, what are we toasting to this week?
So this week, we're going to take a respite from all things insurance and COVID-related and toast the crew and the support staff of the SpaceX Crew Dragon launch, which unfortunately got scrubbed due to weather. We've had a lot of rain here in Florida with this lovely system sitting over the top of us, but it gave us all that brief little moment of cheering on the return to space or manned space flight taking off from U.S. soil for the first time in a long, long time. So cheers, and hopefully their launch on Saturday will be a success.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit NAHU.org.